On Monday, October 5th, Professor Christopher Shaw spoke at Green College at UBC as part of the ongoing Olympic Critics Speaker Series. He is a professor at UBC and is the author of Five Ring Circus, Myths and Realities of the Olympic Games. His lecture, entitled The Hidden Fourth Pillar of the Olympic Games, Privatized Profit, Socialized Debt, touched on a variety of issues related to the Olympic Games. He primarily spoke about the supposed public benefits of hosting the Games. Professor Shaw first speaks about those most involved in pushing for the Olympic bid.
This gentleman, his name is Jack Poole. He is the CEO of VANOC. Before that, he was the CEO of the Bid Corps, which is the organization that brought us the Games. And in a candid moment, he has a few, in a candid moment, he got up in front of a bunch of developers, I think it was in Squamish in 2002, and also, unfortunately, some reporters were there, and he said if the Games weren't coming, we'd have to invent something. And what he meant by that, we think, was that they needed some sort of means to get you and me to invest in their private deals. Because all the things that this gentleman had done over the years, and this, by the way, this is his partner in crime, a fellow named David Podmore, who's now the CEO of Concert Properties. Concert Properties, before it was Concert Properties, was something called Greystone, which was trying to get the convention center downtown and was trying to do different deals. And before that, it was something called Vancouver Land Corporation, which managed to get the city of Vancouver to sell them for $10 a 99-year lease on almost 100 acres of property along waterfront land. One counselor at the time, Jonathan Baker, called it the greatest land deal since the Dutch bought Manhattan from the Indians for $24 a junk jewelry. Concert Properties, Concert Properties is the new incarnation. Jack managed, in the course of various previous companies he had run, he had lost his investors $3 billion, which you'd think would not be an enormously enticing thing for other people to want to invest in, certainly not to pick this guy the head of a multi-billion dollar project. And yet back in the early 80s, this gentleman was approached by none other than Gordon Campbell. Gordon Campbell was then the mayor of Vancouver, and Gordon Campbell, I think most of you are familiar with his politics and his policies. Gordon Campbell decided that he urgently needed social housing in Vancouver. That was just a priority for him as mayor. And he turned to Jack Poole, who was retiring, and he was retiring because his investors had kicked him out of the companies he'd destroyed, and he said, Jack, I want you to start a new corporation. We're going to call it Vancouver Land Corporation. We're going to fund it with city money, provincial money, and union pension funds, and you're going to run it, and you're going to build social housing. Well, guess what they didn't build? Okay, but anyway, that was the beginning of Vancouver Land Corporation. So what did Concert Properties and its previous incarnations want when they were Greystone? They wanted a new convention center. They tried to push that deal through from way back, this was through the 90s. Ultimately, the NDP government rejected it because the cost was going to be over the top, insane. And guess what actually happened? They got the convention center, and the cost was over the top, insane. What was supposed to be almost a $480 million project became almost a $900 million project. Okay. They wanted ski resort development in the Callahan Valley. Guess what they're going to get? They wanted developments along the See the Sky Highway and along the corridor to Whistler. If you've driven that corridor lately, you know that's exactly what's happening up and down the corridor. And, of course, they wanted ultimately to control the Athletes' Village, and we know that because these guys actually made a bid on it, even though Mr. Poole had said back before the Games were awarded that Concert Properties had no financial interest in anything associated with the Olympics. It wouldn't bid on anything. And 2 years later, he put a bid on the Village. Other developers, what did they want? They wanted to gentrify the downtown east side. They wanted the same thing, the See the Sky Corridor enhanced. They wanted to develop, there were many ski resort attempts to try and piggyback on the backs of the Olympics, whether they were in Melvin Creek, also called Shutika, where there's been a blockade since 2000, at Chiem, down in the valley, and at Brome Ridge near Squamish. And, of course, they wanted an airport connector, a new subway line from the airport to downtown Vancouver. And these items, the new convention center, the See the Sky Highway upgrade, and the RAV, or Canada Line Connector, were all essential to getting the bid. They were considered to be absolute must-haves if we're going to get the bid. So what does the IOC get? Well, the IOC basically gets a lot of money is what they get. They don't pay income taxes on this planet anyway. They don't pay income taxes in Canada, the host country. The federal government snuck a clause into the 2007 federal budget that made them tax-exempt as a non-profit organization. They don't pay taxes in Vancouver. They don't pay taxes in the province of British Columbia. And they sure as heck do not pay taxes in Switzerland, because Switzerland also curiously considers them a nonprofit organization. They have enormous amount of privilege. Andrew Jennings, who will be speaking later in the series, will tell you about it. And they live like the new kings of the universe. So what's in it for them? A lot of money and a lot of prestige and power.